Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All unqualified praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and commissioned and raised and revealed among his last ayah, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, this day have I perfected for you your way of life, وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِ, and perfected my favor upon you, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَ, and I have preferred for you al-Islam as a way of life, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without any embarrassment, there is no object of worship except Allah. Lahul Mulk, his is the kingdom. Walahul Hamd, to him is due all unqualified praise. Biyadihi al-khayr, in his hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he has power over all things. When ashhadu anna, we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. When ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi, and upon his family wa sahbihi, and upon his companions ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'da, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. قلوا يعمل على شاكلة فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهد السبيل صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this, the 84th verse of the 17th surah, is say, everyone acts according to the way that they have been socialized, but your Lord knows best who it is that is guided on the way. There's also a report from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that every child is born ala al-fitr. Every child is born on the original pattern that Allah created them on. But it is his parents. And when you understand the lughat al-arabiyya, it is the socialization or the culture. that converts him to Judaism, Christianity, or Magianism. As an animal is delivered perfect from the baby, perfect as a baby from its mother, do you find any mutilation on it? And of course, that was a rhetorical question, and the answer is, of course, no. That is under Allah's design, under Allah's order. MashaAllah, you know, as before Monsanto and before ADM and before Frankenfoods and before GMOs and all of that, that report was made before that. But those that are still raised naturally, they do still come forward perfect as Allah intended for them. Our subject today is continuation. It's all inside of family. The whole range, I have no concept of how long this set of subjects is going to be. They all bear on family, intellect, religion, self, and property. I don't know. It could be years. But if you have some knowledge, and I will tell you it is the case, that for as far as fiqh and sharia, you know, just using those terms relative to Islamic ummah, which is, you know, ummah is Islamic, those are the five daruri. Those are the five mandatory features that have to be in place, formed, established, perfected, secured in order for there to be ummah. If you don't have those secured, you're not going to get to ummah, that master order that Allah has given us for all times. Well, تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Just remember that. I mean, it's so important to remember that. The goal is not to become an economic dynasty or to become a political dynasty or to master the cultural narrative or govern the cultural narrative, whatever language you might want to use, or, you know, whatever. You can just literally say, be your best self, which is a favorite terminology that's used in this society right now. And I'm trying to say that there are things in the world that emphasize one of those over all the others. For as far as al-Islam is concerned, they all have to be perfected in accordance with the way that Allah intended for them. Family has to be perfected in the way that Allah intends. Intellect has to be perfected in the way Allah intends. Religion, quote unquote, that's not our term, but since, you know, matters of worship and matters of ideas about this life and the next and the like, it falls into that category of religion. Religion has to be perfected according to the way that Allah has ordered it. Your own psychology, your own self has to be perfected in accordance with the way that Allah ordered it. And your relationship to property, material life, has to be perfected in accordance with the way that Allah intends. That's the whole job. That's the whole mission, okay? So we are inside of one of those, which is family. We're inside of one of those, it's family. And we decided to go the route, the development of the person, of the individual, and we've chosen to just follow just a threefold step. And right now we're utilizing imprinting, modeling, socializing. This is a scientific striation, or a scientific striation that I accept, for these phases of psychosocial development for the human being. Tarbiyah means education, also means parenting. And then it's the responsibility of the Muslim, servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has children, to take over the conscious responsibility to keep the movement that started in the womb. And then when the baby came forward and was put in our hands, God is basically saying, now it's your job. I'm going to do my Allah, his will. I'm going to do what I naturally do for it. And what we're taking advantage of is the fact that scientists who have observed these developments, these growths, and they have categorized them, they have created a structure for understanding them, a way of understanding, it's not the only way, but a way of understanding. Then what we do, we take advantage of that, because if they have done this through observation, research, etc., Imam Muhammad says, true science is the proper interpretation of the material creation. And the true scientist is the creation, not the one that's doing the writing and the observing. The scientist is the creation. And the creation is telling the scientist, shh, don't say anything, just observe and record what you see. That's nature talking to them. So if you have a legitimate scientist, then that's exactly what they did. They're not adding stuff in to make it fit what they want things to be. They're saying, well, look, we've looked at this 1,000 times, backwards and forwards, upside down, inside out, research, meta-research, et cetera, and these are our conclusion. Our conclusion. So they become trustworthy if they are arrived at upon that basis. So, Allahu A'lam. So the one striation that we've accepted is imprinting, modeling, socializing. And one of the reasons that we accept it is because of what we knew before we found that information. You have the issue of Ali radiallahu anhu was an athar, which is a report from one of the companions and not from the prophet. He says, لعبهم لسبعين وعادبهم لسبعين وخاللهم لسبعين and then let loose the reins. It says, play with them for 7 years, teach them the adab for 7 years, and be their friend for 7 years, and then after that, let loose the reins. So these match very neatly 0 to 7, 8 to 14, 15 to 21 match very neatly with the idea of the imprinting, modeling, socializing. Let me go ahead and say it the other way. The imprinting, modeling, socializing deduction matches well with what the first intellectual of al-Islam spoke in stating, play with them, teach them their adab, and then be their friend. So, therefore, it passes muster with at least one imam, and it's no controversy. I just say it that way. I want to be clear that, you know, where he's telling you that's what Allah said. Allah said imprinting, modeling. So, no, I didn't say that. Well, the prophet said, no, I didn't say that either. I said, Ali said so-and-so, and then the social scientists have come up with deductions or conclusions and research that support that striation. So, we can speak to it from quote-unquote secular academic perspective, but then also the most important and sound perspective of the path that we want to walk on is the path that has been laid down vis-a-vis al-Islam, whether it be derived from one's understanding of al-Islam based on those sources or whether it be from a trusted intellect whose intuitions have benefited many in the world. And again, truth is what makes the heart feel tranquil. And falsehood wavers in the heart, even though you do have fatwas in your favor. I have to say that so that you'll have a background. I don't want you to make the mistake of dismissing what we say when we move away and you don't hear a whole lot of Arabic, you don't hear a whole lot of Quran, you don't hear a whole lot of Hadith, you don't hear a whole lot of Sirah. Oh, man, that's that old academic stuff, man. Come on. I'm just trying to give you a background. So you don't get, and let me put it in the hood, so you don't get lost in the sauce, man. Don't get lost in the sauce, because it's like, this is it. This is your brother from the block. Okay? I mean that in the best possible way. But this stuff is this stuff. This is real. Let's move on. All right. So we are right now in the modeling phase. We've gone through imprinting. Now we're at the modeling phase from 8 to 14. What we decided to focus on inside the modeling phase of this is the psychology of sexuality. The psychology of sexuality. Because that's part of the biggest challenges for parents and young people, that phase of life, right? And that's the 8 to 14 phase, wherein Ali radiallahu anhu, his recommendation for us is to teach them the adab. Teach them their adab. Social scientists call it the modeling phase. The modeling phase is that phase where the young person is trying to figure out how does it go? How does it work? What's the rules? What's the law? What's the order? What's right? What's wrong? All of that, that's what the nature itself is calling for. And that young human being between age 8 and 14, they have no idea. They don't have a conscious knowledge of it. And that's a part of why we're being deliberate also at this time, because we do have young people in our audience that are in that phase. And this kind of conversation is probably, you know, it might be a lot of item. I pray that it's not, but it might be the only time they really hear this kind of conversation about their own reality as created by God. But moving on, in the modeling phase, you want to know what the rules are. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his advice to us also fit the right response to the nature at that stage, the modeling stage. So the Prophet, we read the hadith, and I'll just cite it, where the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach them to pray when they're seven. Teach them to pray when they're seven. That's right after that first phase, 0 to 7, right? Teach them to pray. Except, what were you doing before that? Well, you were kind of, if you follow Ali's advice, you were kind of focusing on play. You were focusing on cultivating an emotional tie, emotional relationship, and also recognizing that there are physiological developments that happen during play. A child's play is actually nature's work on that child for them to develop those faculties that they're going to need in the next and future phases. Eye-hand coordination, you know, fine motor skills, different this and that. Different types of body control, different types of body identification. That's so that they can grow. And then also during that phase, they're downloading all the information from the society that they are being socialized in. All right, so in terms of, at this phase, however, 8 to 14, the Prophet said, teach them to pray when they're 7. So you're teaching them to pray just as they enter in to that phase where they're trying to figure out what's life all about. Well, alhamdulillah, isn't it wonderful that we're being told and shown and advised to let them know about Allah, let them know about their relationship to Allah, let them know about their obligation to Allah, let them know about the reality of Allah. That is, you're putting into their mind, into their consciousness that Allah is real, God is real, the unseen is real, life after death is real. That's what you have to let them. That's what you have to let them know. That's what it is for at that time. So 8 to 14. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teach them to pray when they're 7, and then separate them in their beds at that time. Why would the Prophet tell us to have them separate? And he didn't say separate the boys and the girls from in their beds at that time. Separate them in their beds at that time. And more of that you're going to understand as we continue to go. So that is, two boys, no, they should not be sleeping together after 10 years old. Two girls, no, they should not be sleeping together after 10 years old. All right? Doesn't matter whether they're sisters, doesn't matter whether they're brothers. The point is that biology is, it has a life of its own. The biology has a mind of its own. And I mean that literally. All right. So, in late childhood, the late childhood phase, the modern terminology for late childhood phase is rahiq. This rahiq, it has to do with the state coming into it and being identified as al-hulum, al-balagh, which has to do with sexual maturity and puberty, and that's where we're spending most of our time right now. There's also these levels of the nafs, the three nafs, that's traditional and understood in al-Islam, nafs al-amara, nafs al-lawama, nafs al-mutma'inna. These three nafs, they also pair very well with the growth phases that has to happen as well. Nafs al-amara is not matching up with the imprinting phase. Nafs al-amara actually matches up more with this phase that we're talking about right now. Nafs al-amara really comes on at the time of puberty. At the time of puberty, the progression goes from there. So it's like when the child is between 0 and 7, you're not dealing with nafs al-amara. Okay? When the child reaches puberty, now you're dealing with nafs al-amara. And the science from the Lughat al-Arabiyya perspective, from the language perspective in development of Arabic, this term rahiq, which correlates with teenager, we've already explained teenager, and how it relates to the sexual agitation, interest, or what have you at that time. So I'm not going to go back over that. The idea is a rahiq. Its definition, those of you who use Hans Weir, you'll find it in Hans Weir, page 362. Those of you who use Lane's lexicon, volume 3, page 1171, just for language reference. But the definitions are suspected of evil conduct, one who finds obedience difficult or a burden, wrongdoing, unjust, tyrannical, hasty disposition, foolishness, stupidity, ill-natured, evil disposition, self-conceited, proud, and haughty. That's the language for a rahiq, which is this phase that you would equate with teenager. Now, if anybody, we ain't asked for a raise of hands. But if you've had teenagers, that would be nice. You've seen at least one of these attributes in your teenager, okay? And if they're not teenagers yet, hold on. It's coming, okay? In any case, so now, so let's just finish up the nafs al-amarat. So this is why the nafs al-amarat is the phase at puberty, because that's when the real struggle begins to happen inside the person with their own body relative to the expectations of morality. Okay? Because the bodily appetite is saying, I want, I want. It has a hunger, it has an appetite, it has impulse, it has urges, and it doesn't want to be disciplined. It doesn't want to be controlled. Don't tell me what I can't have. Don't tell me what I can't do. Don't tell me where I can't go. Who's that talking? Nafs al-amarat. Nafs al-amarat. Speaking through the mind and body of our teenager. That one who's just starting on that path around 10 years old, and the Prophet's hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is telling us, look, this is how you're going to have to get ready for that. Alright? So that begins. So there are four phases. I'm going to move on to that. There are four phases relative to the sexual, psychosexual development. And that's where we are right now, talking about that. Four phases. We'll label them, or as they have been labeled: autoerotic, heterosexual, commitment, parenting. These are all four phases. These are four chapters. Right? Each one of them is volumes. Each one is volumes. And so, mashallah, it's not my intention to try to cover all of them in volume, but to give a working understanding of each category so we can have some sense of how it should be. Just like Ali, radiallahu anhu, he said, play with them for seven, teach them their dad for seven, be their friend for seven. Well, then, that's abstract. That's abstract. That's the truth without details, right? In the same way, this is what I'm saying, autoerotic, the heterosexual, the commitment, and parenting, then that's also abstract. So, and what I share will also only be abstract. But once you understand the nature of the category, if you have an interest, then, okay, go to the next step that relates to that. And take your own natural questions. You know, your question might say, well, if this is this, then what is that? Good question. Go ask Google or whoever you got to ask. Right? And that's how you grow. That's how you grow. Correct, or rather the right question or intelligent question is half of knowledge. So as soon as you have a question, you have half of it. Now you have to go pursuing the answer. When you go pursuing the answer, then when you get the answer, now you have the whole thing. Inshallah. So we're going to talk about the autoerotic phase. Right now, this autoerotic phase, you hear it from in the word auto, self, erotic, pleasure. Pleasuring the self. Please understand, I'm being very academic, and this is a sacred moment, sacred place. And also, our reality as human beings is sacred. Our human nature is sacred. And every process that Allah has ordered for us is also sacred. So I have no intention to be salacious or any other kind of way when I talk about sexuality, especially in this forum, in this setting, at this time, and the like. Now, that being said, I already explained, they hide, those who want to preserve the knowledge but not necessarily reveal it, then they hide it in words. And then they teach the masses like donkeys, you only think about it in this way. You only think about it in this way. But then they teach the other tier of leadership for this world,
They tell you, okay, look, when you hear this, this is what it's really talking about. So understand this to be the nature of that, and so respond to it and react to it and deal with it from that perspective. Now, the rest of the people, when they hear it, they're going to be this way. That's for them, because that's, we want them to be in a place where they're useful to us by holding on to it, but they're not competition with us by understanding the insight that goes with it. That's what they do. That's how the world operates. So they'll give us a word like teenager and not let us know that it's connected to watini, wazaytun, watura sanin, wahadha al-balad al-amin, the teenager fig. I've already explained it, but very quickly, fig, scrotum, milk, semen, seed, sperm, figment of your imagination. They send their quote-unquote learned ones, they send them to the seminary. I'm going to say it that way so you'll get it. They send them to the seminary. Well, you go get a bunch of semen without a womb because marriage is not good for you if you want to be a leader. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Not trying to be mean, but I'm telling you what's in our face. They know that teen means semen. All right? And teenager is that place where that's all I'm concerned about. That's a teenager. What age is he? He's a teenager. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Teenager is a category that was created in this society for reasons that I just explained, but also had to do with child labor laws. So let's move on. They had to create a space between child and adult, and they called it teenager. In Al-Islam, no such division exists. In Al-Islam, once you cross that bridge, that bridge of puberty, you're no longer a child, you're an adult. As soon as the girl can have a cycle, as soon as the boy can produce semen, they're adults. But the world also preserved the recognition of that in-between stage, and they called it adolescence. Hiding what? Adult with less sense. They are. They're adults with less sense, and they'll always get on you whenever you try to tell them, no, you can't do that, you can't go there, you can't have this, you can't have that. You always treat me like a child. Who are you talking to? Teenager. No, you're not a child. You're an adolescent. You're an adult with less sense. All right? That's in this world's definition. For us, yes, you are an adult, and so therefore you should take and accept adult responsibility and adult correction and adult direction and adult guidance. Yeah, if you want to be an adult, this is what you have to do. So what's it going to be? Right? And I wouldn't be an adult if I let you do what I know you ain't ready for. Literally, I know that. It's not just, oh, man, when I was your age, I couldn't do this. No, no. I know you. So it's like, no, you're not ready for that. No, you can't drive my car, and I ain't even going to sign for you to get a license. That's a little autobiographical, right? Let me go ahead and do this. Yeah. Man, my mama was so, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Great woman. I know it don't mean anything to 99% of you, but she was a Taurus. I know. That don't mean anything to 99% of you. But when she decided it's going to be this way, that's the way it's going to be, I don't care. That's where she was, right? So me, I'm one of the bad boys, you know, at the time, teenager, right, on the block. Some of my partners, you know, had cars at the time. I'm still in high school. And so I'm trying to get my license. Before I was 18, she said, no, I ain't signing for no license for you. And that was the time when I went off, quote unquote, literally, verbally, not physically, but verbally on my mother. And it was just an act. Allahu A'lam, this is just an act. Then I said, you ain't my mama, right? Just trying to figure out what can I do that can hurt her, you know what I'm saying? And I'm kind of looking with one eye, right? Because she in the kitchen, I still see it now, rahim al-hawlay. She in the kitchen cooking. And for those of you who have February 26, 1975 in your mind, bring this forward. I'm sorry I cut some of you out. But the imam, when he gave that famous speech, he said, look, let the winds of emotion blow against this house. He said, you can have the windows up, the windows can be up, and the curtains won't even shake. Keep blowing, not this house. And that was my mama. It's a Go ahead, say what it is. She didn't miss a shoe. I think she was mixing pancakes or something. She didn't miss a stroke, didn't miss a beat, didn't even look up. She just, that ain't happening. Right? And I knew it wasn't going to happen, so it's just going to be pissed off, go wherever way you go, because that ain't going to happen. But that being said, when I did become a part of, since I mentioned the Nation of Islam, when I did become a part of the Nation of Islam, she started watching from the time I joined to see if it was real. Because my behavior that she was trying to get me into with her goodness and life, she was a church-going woman, with her goodness and life, apparently it wasn't taking hold on me, right? But then when I came to the Nation of Islam, it looked like what she wanted me to be. So she started her observation. And she watched for 10 years. And on her 50th birthday, she said, but Allah graced her. She said, my birthday gift to me is to take Shahada Tang. And she said, I've seen enough. This is the real stuff right here. If it can do that for that boy right there, count me in. Alhamdulillah. She made highs before me. Alhamdulillah. That's my mama. You only get one, so excuse that little reminiscence. But in any case, though, so in terms of the teenager connected, adolescence connected, masturbate connected. What do you mean masturbate? It's the master bait. MASTER-BAIT. God said, look, I don't care who you are, where you are, what you are, if you're alive, this bait is going to get you to make moves that bring more human beings onto the earth. Now, you can have 19 babies out of wedlock, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, but God said, that's all right. I could, when I understand what I'm saying, when I say that's all right. Allah says, he creates in the wombs males and females as he pleases. So if a baby is born, oh, but they wasn't married, Allah meant for that baby to be born. Boy, girl, whatever. That's God's business. God said, look, if I don't, Taif, look at Taif, the worst day in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah sent the angel of the two mountains. He said, I'm the angel of the two mountains. Allah saw how they have treated you. If you want us to, we'll push these whole mountains. They've been throwing rocks at you. We're going to throw mountains at them. So what you want? The Prophet said, no. It may be that from their generations become a better people than these people. Prophet Muhammad, rahmatin lil alameen. So they didn't get wiped out, and alhamdulillah, the grace of Allah, al-Islam is still there and strong. The point is that in terms of our, point is getting there. Either one. So, 70, I said 71 last week, that was all the way off. I'm still only 70, so let's charge that to a senior moment. So in terms of that, masturbate. So it's like the generation that comes after is a better generation. And let's get this fiqh piece out of the way. I'll identify from a doctor. I don't have the book in front of me. Muslim doctors, two scholars that I know. The one who wrote the foreword for sure. I know in person, I believe I know the other one. It's in the publication, Sex Education in Al-Islam. Oh, some of you know the one that I'm speaking of for the forward. Because I know this is sensitive information. I got to make sure that you're clear. I'm not talking out of my hat. This is, I've studied to deliver this to you for your benefit, okay? So I know some of these things, they're very touchy because all of us have our sexual histories and everything related to that. We have family members and other things like that have bearing on what I'm talking about. So I have to walk not quite on eggshells or thin ice, but I have to be real sensitive to it. But I, not to the extent that I have to shade what's true. Can't do that. I got to shade. I can decide things that I will say and that I won't say. Allahu alam, and I pray for Allah's guidance. But that being said, Dr. Maher Hatoot, some of you know Dr. Maher Hatoot in Southern California. I believe he's still living. And his brother, Hassan Hatoot, who are very, you know, learned scholars and doctors of medicine as well. The point is that there is no ruling that masturbation is haram. If you think there is, go look for it. Just go look for it. But I'm telling you, no, it's not. But there is a reading and a teaching of the law in such a way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this procreative capacity for a purpose. Okay? So, with regard to procreation, that's what it's for. It is for procreation. But it's not limited to procreation. So the idea of finding pleasure / fun in the sexual act is not haram. In fact, there's a hadith, I don't have it in front of me right now, but there was a young man, one of the notable companions, etc., who was trying to hastily get back to the city. He's with the Prophet, get back to the city in order to either get married or be with his wife. Either way, it had to do with his connection with the woman. And the woman was a woman that was much older than him in relative terms. So I think apparently in the hadith it must have had bearing on his going to have the wedding, make the nikah, etc., and having informed the Prophet of who it was and how much older she was than him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, then why didn't you marry somebody closer to your age so that you can play with her and have fun? And the reading of the report, at least as the scholar's explanation of it, the reading of the report is saying that play and have fun had to do with the sexual encounter, had to do with the way that they interacted sexually, while a younger one would interact differently than an older one. Then the young man explained about the woman and her husband having died in jihad in one of the battles, et cetera, et cetera. So it was out of this kind of piety that he was having that relationship. But my main point is to point to the fact that sex for pleasure, let me change the word, conjugal relations, because I don't, you know, there's this word around in nowadays, trigger, right? So, whatever. Conjugal relations for pleasure is not haram. And as I said, every time you have conjugal relations, it doesn't have to be in order to, quote-unquote, make a baby. It's also for fun, pleasure, play. And, in fact, the language in the world, society right now, is also foreplay. Foreplay, right? And the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you got to look up the books, because I'm not going to go any much more in detail than the kind of thing I've said so far. But the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said when you approach your wife, then you should approach her with kind words, nice words, and kissing. So that's abstract for foreplay, all right? It's like, you know, there's no bam, thank you, ma'am. Hold on, I know, come on now, don't act like you don't know. You heard that before. And the sisters that would know, if they were allowed to speak, they would say, you tell them, brother, ma'am. So may Allah guide us, have mercy on us, forgive us all our shortcomings, mashallah. So let's finish up this part of this part of it. Okay, so the autoerotic phase is a masturbatory phase. Everybody goes through it. Everybody goes through it. Also, therefore, it is to be understood that if you happen to come upon your son, daughter, child, etc., and they are so engaged and you're totally unexpected, then Allahu alam, this is total Fahim Shu'aib, right here, okay? It's like you need to kind of do an about face and go on where you're going, right? Just like, oh, if you can hide the fact that you were there, do that. Please do not go there. Oh my God! Man, you just ruined them for the rest of their life. Allahu alam. And if that's the case, which could be for some, either you personally or your child, ask Allah to help. Ask Allah to help. Because those are the kind of things that get broke, that it takes God to put that back together. Okay? So there's a whole lot of ways that things can go after that. So what I've just said to you as Muslims is that your reaction to something that nothing in the Quran and nothing in the Prophet said that it's haram. So that reaction came from who? Where? Everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized. So it's our socialization if we react that way to that. But now if you respond with fitr in mind, then the response is, let them keep their secret, if you will. And then now you know you got to go to work on getting that marriage peace happening. Right? Because the Prophet said also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says when the person reaches puberty, they should marry. There's al-Islam coming right there at that point. When the cycle begins, when semen is possible, time to start focusing on that marriage. Because the body is saying, it's ready. Are you? Are we? Societal support for the realization and the actualization of a relationship called marriage that formalizes this service to God aimed at advancing the mission of Ummah building. Right? You can't do it without marriage. And puberty is that time. After puberty is that time, and it's supposed to happen. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Amen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah. I want to make these comments so we can underscore this. But I am going to ask you for an extra minute because during the period of the khutbah, I want to remind you about fasting on Yawm al-Ashura. I just want to mention that just. It won't be law, inshallah, but that needs to be said, and I don't want you to be gone at announcement time and not hear that. So I am going to extend myself just a bit to say something about that. But further on this autoerotic phase is the self-pleasuring phase. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, he said, the mastery of life is learning how to manage pleasure and pain. It's learning how to manage pleasure and pain. So that biological development, that the biological cultivation is a big source of pleasure, a major source of pleasure. And that being the case, we can get totally distracted and absorbed and addicted to the pleasure that sexuality is. Going back to the issue of masturbation, the teaching, mashallah, is that. And that is what the scholars have come to in light of the fact that, no, there's no haram, but that's it. So, but if that's all you do, then that's going to be a problem. So it becomes a problem when it becomes, and that is to say, it's makruh, what have you, when it becomes a substitute for sex. It's just like the reality is there, but it's being substituted by the individual with the act, with that act. Well, you're not using it for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, even though that's not haram, or at least there's no dictum that directly from Quran Hadith that says that. But the point is that where it's supposed to be going? No, you got to turn it in the direction that Allah has ordered for it, right? So taking as a substitute, that's where the wrong comes in. All right. Now, So again, you know, in the matter of usra yusra, right? Verily with difficulty comes relief. So that's the nature of life. The nature of life is usra, difficulty or pain, right? Yusra, ease or pleasure, right? So verily with difficulty comes relief, or as the Imam said, it's the mastery of pleasure and pain. Some things are painful, but then you also have to learn how to bear some painful things if you're going to grow up, right? Some things are pleasurable, but you also have to be willing to sacrifice certain pleasures in order to make a certain amount of progress. So if you don't know how to manage pleasure and pain, you're not going to be able to grow, right? So that's what the quote-unquote adolescent, the one who's just grew up past puberty, that's that first question, that's that master question that they're, that master challenge that they're having to learn. How do I deal with pleasure and pain? Or I don't do anything that I don't like doing, right? Or I only do what I like doing. You have to do both of them. So during this period of time, the mental, intellectual, and emotional development goes on. I was online when I came online, and one of the commercials that comes on is about Gen Z, Generation Z, right? And it was a commercial about marketing. And Gen Z is identified as the market segment that these people are most equipped to get you to make money off of them. So they say, oh, Gen Z, you know how to relate to Gen Z? Well, we know about Gen Z. We can show you how, basically get in their pocket. I'm taking it short. We show you how to get Gen Z. That's what we focus on, right? And that said to me, it's like, okay, here are people who study the adolescent, the teenager, the prepubescent, et cetera, with the interest of how to exploit their phase. Yeah, Gen Z likes this, they don't like that. They like this, they don't like that. So put a picture of this in there and put an action like this in there, and then you go to the chat. So that's bait also, right, for that particular group. Now, so this phase that we're talking about between 8 to 14, the modeling phase, that phase is what they call in psychology the adolescent psychosocial development phase, the adolescent psychosocial phase. All right? So that's between 8 to 14. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, at the age of 10 years old is when you need to be interested in the psychosocial, particularly the sexual development of your young people. Don't act like you don't know. Don't act like it's not significant. Because once they get past and into that phase, the mental, emotional, intellectual developments at the time are going to make it absolutely challenging for you to try to get a word in edgewise when that flood of hormones is saying, oh, I don't listen to that fool. They don't know. Their generation don't know. They don't even know how to, you know, get on Facebook, whatever. Right? So be mindful of that. Now, this phase also... We'll use words again, and we're going to have to, mashallah, limit ourselves. Use words again. Doesn't say, what are they called? They're called youth. Youth. If I talk about health, that's health. Health. If I talk about wealth, that's real. Now, we're not used to phrases like our common weal and woe. Our common weal, but the language is familiar with it. Our common weal means prosperity. Weal means prosperity, right? So, health is about the state of healing, all right? Wealth is about the state of prosperity. Youth is about you. Not you, but it's them looking in the mirror, searching for their identity. Said, don't abuse the young person for trying on one face or another. They're just trying on one identity after another to find one of their own. Most of us can't remember that search for us. All you gotta do is go back and look at some of the pictures. unless you were born before cameras, but if you got pictures, oh yeah. In fact, one more humorous piece, please. Once I joined the Nation of Islam, you know, the fruit had to, you had to come to work. You had call out where you had to clean up the temple or you had to go do something, you know, you had, but, you know, you had to get dressed for the task. You know, the task is you got to clean up something, blah, blah, so you had to wear some old clothes because you more than likely you're going to get dirty, right? So I put all, you know, stuff that I had, so this was near enough now where I hadn't even got it out the closet, right? So I put on the shirt, right? And the captain looked at me, said, "Brother, what was you in the grave?" Because I had these bell bottoms, right? You had these bell bottoms, and they're a little tight around here. You know, so you walking in there, belting, you fruit of Islam now, right? But you, that's a little tight there, homie. You know, bell bottoms, right? So the idea is that we are looking for an identity. So there was a time when James Brown was a thing for me, another time when Jimi Hendrix was a thing for me, another time when somebody else was whatever. And y'all, those of you in my generation, too, we call baby boomers. And mind you had your looks, too. You know, the super fly thing and all that kind of, we had that, right? So the idea is that's what every youth is looking for, identity. That's what the nature is called. Who am I? And a constant statement of young people in this 8 to 14 age is, nobody understands me. I'm so lonely. Along with, I'm bored, that part of it, too. Why? Because they're trying to find you, i.e., who they are. And in this particular phase, we call the modeling phase, but this psychosocial developmental phase, the conflict is between identity and role confusion. I have to say this just to get this into the conversation that we're going to have to end. That's what that phase, that's what's involved in that phase. Who am I? What is my role? That's the modeling phase. That's also that psychosocial developmental phase, which is defined by the statement identity versus role confusion. That means young people between ages 8 and 14, they really don't know who they are. And when it comes online, the consciousness comes online, I really want to know who I am. Now, please listen to the devilishment of the society and the time that we're living in right now. Those same Gen Z advertisers, they know about this problematic phase of those in the modeling stages that they are looking for what is, what's right, what's the identity, what's my role, etc. And here come that flaming, I want to say something really bad, but I'm not going to say it. Oh, I'll tell you who you are. Don't let the world tell you what you got to be yourself. Who are they talking to? They're talking to the one who's trying to figure out who they are. And then this one gets support from the newspaper, from the movies. There's not a children's movie you can turn on right now, that age range movie right now, where somebody's not going to be in that role. And it's the child that is in that stage looking for identity and trying to avoid role confusion, get out of role confusion. Well, maybe I should be like him. Because that phase is like wet clay too when it comes to identity. And you have these devils, perverts, who need another crop, a willing crop, for them to abuse, but for them not to feel that it's abuse, but to feel that it's normal. So they are aiming at them right in that sphere of the modeling phase to tell them who they are. And to take away from them a belief in a God that created them with a form, a design, a purpose, and a direction that was born with them when they came out of their mother's womb. This one wants to come and tell that one there is no purpose, there is no design, and God is a social construct, and blah, blah, blah. Who are they talking to? They're talking to the ones who are in that conflict stage between idea and role confusion. Who is it? It's a school counselor. It's a school teacher. In some cases, a preacher. And I've even heard that somebody who's imams. That's no big deal. Wah, 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 whatever. When Allah say punish him in the Quran. So a lot to be said, obviously, of what the reply is, but I won't conclude without saying this. It's like, yes, there's a societal role, but also there's our role as parents, as communities. It takes a whole village to raise a child. If a community is not doing anything to seal up the gates, quote-unquote, but not in any kind of extremist, crazy kind of way, nothing I say should be done or thought about with an imbalance. Yes, I emote strongly about it because it's very important. But I'm very rational about how we're to approach. So the point is that we have to create a situation that has some balancing impact in the time, because if they're not decided at that time, they're okay, well then where's our model? If they're not decided, you're telling me about don't. Okay, what do? And it's a community responsibility to construct, bring our resources to bear, bring our bodies to bear, bring our attitudes and minds together to create a sphere of influence that is designed in the best possible way to incline them to what we're talking about. But you have to do that in a competitive way. Okay? I'm going to leave that right there. Let me mention something about Yamashura. Bismillah. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, we asked about fasting on the day of Arafah, the Prophet, peace be upon him, that's the ninth day of Zulhijjah, and the Prophet said, it will expiate the sins of the previous and the upcoming years. That is, when you fast on Yawm al-Arafah, the ninth day, the day before Eid al-Adha, you have the expiation of the previous sins and the sins of the upcoming years. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked about fasting on the day of Ashura, and he said it will expiate the sins of the past year. That is, last year's sins, which we can't count, can't calculate, but the angel is written. It's clear. Fast on Yawm al-Arafah, which for us right now, the first, not Yawm al-Arafah, Zulhijjah, 10 Muharram, that's what it is. The first was July 30th. The first of Muharram 1444 was July 30th, right? That was last Saturday. So that's the first. The 10th of Muharram, 10th of Muharram, is the 9th. I've seen indications where it says the 7th and the 8th. But given that the first was on the 30th, then do the rest of the count. The 10th day of Muharram is on the 9th of August. I don't even know what day that is, what day that is. It's a Tuesday. So to fast on that day, it's like, And the companions in another report, they say they never saw the Prophet more urgently interested in making sure that to fast on Yom HaShura, or rather fast a day other than during Ramadan as they did Yom HaShura. That was really a day of fasting for him, emphatically. And you'll also find reports that it says fasting on the 9th and the 10th. One of the reasons is because the Prophet found out that the Jews and the Christians, that the Christians and the Jews, I believe it was, that also had a very strong feeling about the 9th of Muharram. And he said, well, if I live
then I'll also fast on the 9th of next month. But he didn't live past that time. And so therefore, but there's still some who say, well, his intention was, so let's do it. But that's something else. And let me just go ahead and clear the boards with this. This statement about fasting, or this practice of fasting, Yom HaShura, was before Ramadan was revealed. It was before Ramadan was revealed. And so in that following year, Ramadan was revealed. And so the Prophet made it optional for the person. He ordered it when he first got announced. I should tell you about that, where it says, fasting on Muharram 10 is known as Day of Ashura, expiates the sins of the past year. When the Prophet arrived in Medina 622, remember he passed 623, right? When he arrived in Medina 622, he found that the Jews there fasted on Muharram the 10th and asked them what was their reason for fasting. And he found, they said, this is the blessed day, the day on which Allah saved the children of Israel from their enemy in Egypt, that's Fir'aun. And so Prophet Musa fasted on this day, giving thanks to Allah. Then the Prophet said, peace be upon him, we are closer to Musa than you are. He fasted that day and commanded the Muslim to fast that day. The following year, Allah commanded the Muslims to fast the month of Ramadan, and the fasting of Ashura became optional. So it is optional, but the promise that is in it is still there. That is, if you think you can use forgiveness for sins of all last year, okay, consider that. Right? It's like, oh, you know, to cover me? Yeah. Inshallah, your intention is right and pure, and by Allah's grace, and Allah keeps his promise. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your guidance. We owe everything that we have of good to you. Oh Allah, bless us to show gratitude and appreciation for what you have given to us. Oh Allah, bless us to represent in our behavior, in our words, in our actions, what you intend for us as human beings. Oh Allah, we need your help. We have great enemies in this world, and no one knows it as you do. Oh Allah, help us in the ways that we don't even know that we need your help. Oh Allah, help us from within ourselves. Help us outside of ourselves. Help us to help each other in order to accomplish and achieve what you have ordered for us. It is our desire purely to build ummah for your sake. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as-salat. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمه الله تعالى وبركاته. Thank you for joining us this morning of the University of Mental Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just
aired yesterday's recording of Live Jumu'ah from Masjid Warathin in Oakland. And under the subject, Our Families, Our Future, we gave the third part of the psychology of sexuality, the label we're using for now. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for it, and we look forward to your comments. You should have something to say, contribute to the conversation. Don't wait to be last. Push one on your phone, Blog Talk, come on through. I really don't know exactly how the comments work on the StreamYard piece, but we are live on Facebook and YouTube, so if you have comments, go ahead, type them in. If they're not coming through live right now, then inshallah, I'll get notification on my email. And in some cases, I am in a position to reply to them, even if I don't do it not live, I can do it online. But if you are on one of those platforms, Facebook or YouTube, type in your comments or your questions, and we can go to those. But for now, we're looking forward to the comments from those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio. Most immediately, first up, Brother Mark, and then inshallah, we hope to hear from others of you. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and your very astute radio listening audience. Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. I want to say, what a wonderful khutbah today in the progression, the psychology of sexuality. I want to say also last week I pressed 1 and it said I was in the queue, but I know that technology is not always accurate either. So I know you had 2 calls. I know you would have had a 3rd caller because generally speaking, I would press 1 early on to just my reflection. So I don't know what happened. Obviously, I didn't show up or what. Because I know that if you had seen me, you would have opened my mic to have comments on it. But it was an excellent khutbah last week. I'll just simply say that. I want to say a couple of things here. And I love that song that you play as a prelude for the second half of your presentation after repeat of the excellent khutbah that you gave yesterday. You know, it reminds me in the Quran of Surah 66:6, an expression of that is save yourself and your family, you know, and it goes on in terms of the hellfire. And as a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and also you were in the Nation of Islam, this may not mean much to those who were not in the nation, and questions were asked in the catechism in terms of the answer that we gave. Who is yourself? So who is yourself? You know, I know you know the answer, and those who are the Nation of Islam say, you know, yourself is a righteous Muslim. You know, so save yourself and your family. Okay, so your family will be a reflection of you, you know, and then being God conscious, you know, a conscious regard for God's word, will, and way for us to live. And Imam Muhammad actually taught us as a master key, he said, everything in creation has a counterpart or a likeness in you. So if we're talking about hellfire, a fire, he said there's a fire inside of you. And you so eloquently have articulated over the years in terms of looking at the jinn, as the jinn. And as you said, abstract, you know, is true without detail. But you have given detail in terms of the jinn being undomesticated, uncivilized, and unsubmitting in all. So it doesn't really serve you, but it can actually consume you. And so it's not being utilized as Allah intended for that. Which leads me to this. I'm going to make a prelude, but I'm going to ask you a question. And I go back to the Quran again in Surah 16, Ayah 78 of the Quran, another expression of it, where Allah says, it is He, Allah, who has brought you forth from the wombs of your mother when you knew nothing. And it is He, Allah, who gives you hearing, seeing, intelligence, and affection or sensitivity that you may give thanks. What I was seeing in that we don't come here really knowing anything, but Allah is saying in that same ayat, I'm giving you the faculty, the faculties, and the capacity to be able to know something and to be thankful and grateful, which leads to my question. I'm looking at Nefsin Amara is starting in the first 7 years, whereas, and it intensifies as you move to the next stage, because I'm looking at our children, whereas they haven't grown and developed, haven't been able to civilize or domesticate or submit, to the fact that they have a demand in them or commanding in them their urges, their impulses, their desires or what. And so in that play, as you so eloquently articulated by Ali, in terms of that, you begin to help them in the play when you're playing games with them, rules and regulations, which leads to the adapt. It begins right there, but you oftentimes will see children, especially those who don't have siblings. This is mine, the selfishness in all, and all because it hasn't been domesticated nor civilized in that point, but they're being more governed by their urges and impulses, but it intensifies. It intensifies. What I'm saying, I think it intensifies when this that Allah has put into the fitra, the original nature, when you reach pubescence and the signs come in that regard. So that is my question to you. Am I off course in this?
Yeah.
I submit if I'm off course in this, but I think it intensifies because now this is a added component that has to be dealt with, as you said in your kopa, it has to be dealt with, and parents have to know that. They have to know that, and they have to follow what the Prophet has said, too, in terms of teach them to pray. You come from play to pray. I put more emphasis. Don't mean that you stop playing with them, but you put an emphasis on that, and then the separation in the bed, and then we can really see that today when we talk about LGBTQ and all of these things that are happening, the social construct, that now they have to deal with all of that when you send them outside of their home. It's not a reinforcement for what it is that you're teaching them in the home, but I think that this is so vitally important. So I could say more, but I'll stop there. That's my question to you. Thank you, and as always, very substantive.
Stay online. Nobody's in the line right now, and you bring up a very good point. So we're just, we're having a conversation. I agree with what you're saying and your qualification of it being intensifying. That's significant, and that's correct. That is definitely correct. And so make it easier, and therefore, and now I gotta throw some college words at you now, right now.
Well, I didn't go to college. Now
I only
painted colleges. I didn't attend.
But there's a term called parsimonious, right? Parsimonious.
Okay.
Parsimonious means, let's call it easy and direct and what have you. So it does uncomplicate the transition that my statement would ask a person to make, to say that nafsul amara begins at the level of puberty. It is better. for your saying that it intensifies. And my support for what you're saying and my appreciation and gratitude for that insight is that all the senses, right? You have all the senses, which you pointed out as the verse said. And it sounded like, but I don't know if it was. I know Allah says this in a number of places in the Quran, mm-hmm. about the feelings and mm-hmm. the affection, the little thanks it is that you give in some cases. The one of created you in the wombs of your mother through three veils of darkness, right?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. that lines up, of course, with the three nefs as well. So to move the beginning of that nefsul amara back into that first phase, legitimately, is very important. So yes, the five senses. And so one of the things that reinforced the correctness of it for me is that when the correctness of what you're pointing out. When we dealt with Craig, right, committed to remove all attempts to portray divine, I did a figure eight assembly. I won't bring it up now, but to show that the images fed into a pathological, now this is different now, a pathological narcissist in the European, by portraying them as divine and the family of divine and the family of God and all that, right? The main population of heaven is white people. So when by the time you go through all the images and TV commercials and all the other kinds of circumstances that elevated whites over non-whites, and by the time the return to the concern about self is filtered through all that stuff. Now you have narcissists. You have pathological narcissists. But the start of that figure eight cycle was the natural selfishness that a child has. A child has natural selfishness. A child has, in fact, one of the definitions for child, which is one of the definitions of child, atfal as children, is one who comes to a feast uninvited. One who comes to a feast uninvited, right? So they're basically saying a bundle of appetites, right? We're a bundle of appetites, but they're not immoral appetites, right? They're not appetites against some standard of right and wrong. It's just, they're just appetites, right?
Yes.
And those appetites, all they're interested in is what they're interested in, right? So that's when you understand, is also another way of saying that the appetite always wants to be in charge. The appetite wants to be in charge. Don't hold me back. Don't stop me. Don't try to, right?
That's right.
That is,
that's right.
That's not nefsul amara as immoral. Right, it's not a conscious or a bad. Just like a lion killing an antelope is not murder, right? A lion killing an antelope is not murder. That's nature.
That's survival.
So I agree that yes, starting up Salat Marat in that first phase, then it intensifies, in the second. Repeating what you're saying, and also. I want to support it with something else.
Okay.
That this is a point, and I'll probably restate this next week. It was in my notes, not in the way that I'm telling you right now, but the idea of the morality mm-hmm. of it all comes when the person wins the conflict, right?
Yes.
Okay, now, then we created before, right? And so now we know, as you did, we can relate that to the sense body. We can relate that to the five senses. We can relate that to the body. We can relate that to the appetite, to the impulses, the urges that come naturally with the flesh, right? All right, now when you come into peace, now you can't just let it have free reign anymore now. Now you're going to have to put it under some kind of discipline. Right? You're going to have to some adapt. You're going to have to get some discipline. You have to give it some direction. All right? You have to restrain it in some way, right? All right.
Yes.
So now here, now there's the conflict. Now there's the conflict. Because it used to be when you were a baby or a child or what have you, not puberty, before puberty, you didn't have to have that kind of concern. But no, okay, but now you're older now. So now it's time to constrain. Now it's time to direct, to discipline, et cetera. Now there's the conflict. Now, the definition that I accept of morality, of moral development, and you can see Nestlé Wama coming in now at this
yes.
point, right? Okay, and it is this. Moral development arises out of the conflict between desire and obligation. So there's the conflict right there. You already have
yeah.
the desire. I'll finish with the definition, but I'm stopping right there. You already had the desire that was in your body. That's automatically, right? So desire keeps coming. Okay, now you're older now. Okay, so now you have some responsibilities that you're going to have to deal with, right? Some obligations
yeah.
that you have to meet, right? Some restraint that you're going to have to put your desires and impulses under. Okay, well, now's the time, okay? Desire, so moral development arises out of the conflict between desire and obligation and occurs when the desires become more rational. The desires
yes.
become more rational and the law of obligation becomes the indwelling spirit of the soul or of the self, you can say.
Hello,
So that means use your language, the intensification, right? That's in
yeah.
what's intensified, the battle. The battle has been joined, right? So now
yeah.
here's your urge to implement better, but now it's time for you to stop doing what you used to could do out there that way. you could do formally without any kind of restraint. But now you're older now, so now you come into a category of obligation that it has to be restrained. Now, you become morally developed when you learn to make your desires more rational, you know, and less, unrestrained, right? You're going
yes,
to make
sir.
Those desires more rational. You mean you desire more of the right things in the right way
yes.
for the right, right? So you're giving your impulses righteousness, right? It's like, okay,
yes.
that's an impulse. This is what's right for that impulse. This is what's wrong for that impulse. Okay, this is a desire. This is what's right for that desire. This is what's wrong for that desire. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on, right? And so the more
yes.
the person conforms to that, the more developed, the more morally developed they are. And it says, and when the law of obligation becomes the indwelling spirit of the self, right? Meaning that
yes.
you want to do what you have to do. Right? It's not that you don't do it unwillingly. You do it willingly, and you want to be right, right? So now you're talking Muslim, right? Because Muslim is one who resigns peacefully and willingly to the will of Allah. God said, come ye together willingly or unwillingly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we, the Muslims, come willingly, right? So, and
yes.
so the winner that battle, now you're off of Nafsala Amara, you're on Nafsala Wama. You have embraced the law. Alhamdulillah. So thank you for opening that door. So that
yeah, Alhamdulillah. No, thank you, Brother Imam, for going a little bit deeper in that. And as you were speaking, I was thinking in terms of Imam Muhammad teaching us on the two vital components of the soul, the fujul and the taqwa. And he simply said this, and I won't go into it because I know that you know this. He said the fujul is the rational nature. And
mm-hmm.
then he went on to say that it is the urge in the soul to want to know, to want to know. He said, but
yes.
rationalization by itself can get us in trouble. But the taqwa,
mm-hmm.
he said, is the moral nature. And so
mm-hmm.
that is supposed to guide the rational inquiry that we have naturally in the soul. That kind of corresponds in terms of, you know, the natural development of the human being in wanting to know themselves. And so this is why this is so highly important. I'll stop there.
All right,
but I really appreciate I really appreciate you, you know, going even more in depth in that, but I just wanted to make sure that my thinking was correct in that, so it does correspond with those three levels of the soul. And of course, we want to get to the state of Nefesh Mutmainna, where the soul is at peace and is pleased and is pleasing to our Lord and Creator. Thank you so much.
Hey, look, it seems like nobody got anything else, so let's keep talking on this right here. Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
I would have mentioned this to you because your insight on that, it opened up so many areas, and so connections come by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is it. The idea of, 23:12-14, right, that one when talked about, you know, from the essence, quintessence of clay and then all the way up to another creature, right?
Yes.
Then out of it another creature, right? So that's another,
yes,
the idea that you brought out, it links with another connection having to do with growth, because the important thing that you said, well, I'm saying for me, you said a lot of things important, I'm saying for me in this connection, is that it gets started and then it intensifies, right?
Yes.
That's an important conceptualization, because the point is that when you apply that to different things, right, then you can see it's one of those repeated natural processes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts,
yes,
intensifies. It starts, then it intensifies, right? Yeah. Now, in that series, 23:12-14, every one of those words that are there, when we talked about alaqatin and mudghatin and all the other different stages that are mentioned, in the Arabic of it, it starts indefinite, then it becomes definite.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then when it goes to the next phase, it's indefinite, then it becomes definite, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So take that and apply that concept to what you were saying about nafs al-amara, right? Then it's an indefinite nafs al-amara, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get into the puberty, it's a definite nafs al-amara, right?
Yes.
Now you go to the next level. Alhamdulillah.
So
yes. It's very, 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 very useful.
Yeah. Well, I love that, brother Imam. I love how you said that, because I often was, you know, as a student Imam, you know, when he was talking about Rabbi El-Amin, you know, bringing something from immaturity to maturity,
mm-hmm,
from immaturity,
yeah,
to maturity. And so there's a natural growth and development, and whatever it is are the vital components that make up the human being, and even in the systems of knowledge, you know, anything,
mm-hmm,
that we learn, there's basic and fundamentals. You start with that. You know, that's why Imam Muhammad would say, another master key he'd give. He said, let the known lead you to the unknown. Let it, what you know lead you to what you don't know. The quest to really find ourselves and find other things that is propelling us in our nature to want to know, this is a good, I would say, framework. You know, the Quran gives us the framework, just like you went to the Quran in terms of that. So I really appreciate that, you know. And this is how I think we have to begin to start thinking with the Quran and studying the life example of the Prophet. This will actually help us. We get the instructions from the Quran. We get the demonstration of how to live the Quran with the Prophet Muhammad. And then we are to reflect, like Allah says, reflect on that, in that assigns or even a greater message, you know, when we reflect on God's word to us. So I really, really appreciate that. One also, in terms of when you were speaking about the master bait, and, you know, as a wordologist, I'm always looking at the etymology of words, see, how words actually are put together, and the social sciences, scientists, and all, they are very much aware, you know, when they came up with the word masturbation, and of course, they were very much aware in terms of that first stage, the autoerotic, and how it makes its presence, make its presence known in terms of now this is a different stage that you're coming into. And obviously, you know, parents, well, you know, I know I didn't have parents that actually could speak to that. Perhaps you might be in the same situation, but I'm thinking that many that was in our time didn't have that, didn't know how to speak to that. And when they, sex for some was taboo, you don't talk about it. You don't talk about it. You just, maybe you might say to the girl, don't get pregnant, you know, keep your dress down, your legs closed, or for boy or something like, keep your pants zipped up and don't go out here and get no girl pregnant, you know, or what. But I think when you talk about sexuality, when I look at the suffix that are put on the inality, it's a play on the word reality. Just like personality is the reality of the person, spirituality is the reality of the spirit, sexuality is the reality of sex. And, you know, what you have presenting here, and I can appreciate you doing it very methodically, taking your time, not rushing through it, because there is a reality of sex. And it's so very important for our children to learn that, and then we eradicate ourselves of the taboo, if you will, and being able to sit down and to intelligently talk to them about what's going on, I'm aware of, and everything. And I also agree with you that if there was that moment that you walked in and you actually saw or experienced that, so that they won't have a misconception or a misperception about it and all, it would be better just to keep that to yourself in terms of what it was that you actually saw or experienced. But you know you have to really, and you mentioned this in your cookbook, to go to work to make sure that you have this conversation and that if you see that this is happening or what, and they have an interest, and I'm not going to get ahead of you in terms of heterosexual and also commitment and then ultimately leading to family. And Imam Muhammad said it's supposed to be seen. Sex is supposed to be seen in the social context and all, that if we can begin to start to intelligently in a very civil way to be able to disperse information to our children, we can help to remove that taboo that we can't talk about sex. But those first two stages are so very, very important in the formative years in helping to inform, you know, our children, so it may help to keep them from being deformed in that arena because challenges will actually come to them. I know I said a lot, but I'm going to stop there, bro, because I always enjoy you, bro, listening to you.
Alhamdulillah, Allah bless you, but now you woke up some people in the audience, so now they're coming. Oh,
I woke up. Well, good, so, good. I'm gonna stop there, and I'm going to get off. Hopefully, my little 2 cent worth was of some value there. Assalamu alaikum, brother,
but,
ma'am.
But thank you for being my special guest on this morning's broadcast.
give me a little advance notice next time, brother, ma'am. I got to get you. I'm inviting you pretty soon to, you know, back to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I always love to listen to you and appreciate you and what it is that you have. Allah has blessed you to give to us over the years. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
And last thing, our girl Manira, I put it that way because she's family. Our girl Manira is getting married, I see.
Oh, I know. She called me up personally, and I know she called you up, but she wanted me to know, and I somewhat know the brother. Imam DeLacy Umar, he's a real good brother. I would say, very, very sincere, a person of integrity, honesty, and transparency. As we do this premarital questionnaire, which is what we're on, I've said to our radio listening audience, those four things are vitally important, even in courtship. And when I spoke to Manera, I congratulated her. I said, you know, when you go on live nationally and people listen to you and you're teaching in terms of courtship and marriage, you're almost like an open book. I listened in to her productions on AM 360, excellent. And the brother have called in, asked certain questions. And so when she told me, I says, I'm not surprised. She said, you're not surprised? I said, no. I'm able to read meta messages in that, and Allah had blessed me to be able to see that there was an interest, even though he was speaking in a covert way on radio in the questions he was asking. But I was able to see that. So I was so elated. I just said, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. So I'm glad that you know I'm not surprised. She's sharing it with people like yourself, myself. But she hasn't made it known as of yet to the radio listening audience. She said there's a few other things they want to work out. But it's supposed to happen this month in terms of the nikah. Yes, sir.
Talking out of school. I saw a formal invitation. I did talk to her. I wasn't told not to make it public. So. We got to go. All right.
Okay, then. Thank you, brother, ma'am. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Everybody, thank you so much. This is a Texas number, but I have my suspicions. 713, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum, it's Gaia. You know who this is.
I thought that was you. Lila.
That's me. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Yes. I'm good. How are you, Imam? How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Alhamdulillah. What's
Okay, so I tuned in. Let me tell you why I tuned in. Because Brother Mark was on there just soloing it, right? And he brought up a lot of good points, but I think there's a lot of people that's on, and I wanted to reassure you because we weren't pressing the button and coming on is because there's thinking going on, you know, just thinking.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are still right here, right with you. They're following it, and I just wanted to reiterate that because a lot of times we don't always have questions. But now
I'll tune down my concern in that respect. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Alhamdulillah. But now he did bring up what I was thinking on, you know, and that is that the youth, you were talking about from 8 to 14, you know, trying to find out who they are, you know, and what's what, and, you know, how to assert yourself and stuff, you know. Now, I always just remember, I'll never forget me at any age because that's what I use as a springboard, you know.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't born an adult. I had to go through the stages. And I think that's an important thing to use. Now, if I had to deal with any children from 8 to 14 right now, what I would definitely do, I would definitely sit down with them. Now, I believe in talking with kids, not talking to them, because they have a mind, and this mind is thinking, and, you know, is very upsetting when you're at any age, and especially this age, and someone thinks that you don't have a mind and you can't think. So it's important to talk with them, you know, not to them, but with them. So one of the things I would definitely, this kupa that you did yesterday and played today, I would play that, you know, I would put it on and I would be less, you know, let's have this conversation because I want to know what you think. I want to know what you think about this kupa that Imam Shuaib did. He said some things that were interesting to me, and if I was at your age, I would have something to say about it. So I want to hear what you have to say about it, you know. And so I would play and stop and play, you know, play and stop and talk about it, you know, get their feeling on it. Because, see, what kids don't know is they're being duped. They are just being duped, and they really think that they're original. It's all fake. I came up with this. This is me, you know. And they don't understand, you know, that they're really being culturized and nurtured, you know, by the culture to act a certain way. They put the pawns out there, and then they take them back. Because if you look at now, you look at this LGBT kind of thing, who is most dominant in it now? You know what I'm saying? Who is most dominant in it now? Standing up for it will die for it. You know? So they know how to groom us, right? They know how to groom us to make us a protector over some BS, right? So the children, it's most important that they know this ain't authentic. This is nothing. You ain't original really on this. This is what they've done to you. But for them to discover that, because that's when they, you know, that's when they're going to stand on their own 2 feet, right? And then they're going to be solid when they know, not when they were told this would happen to you and boom, 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 but when they get it, you know, when they get it. So I think that this kupa, this particular kupa, and I'm telling you, if I had any, and I would, even if my grandkids was here, but, you know, the youngest is, what, 16 now? So, and still we'll go over, but they're not here. They're not here. But definitely between that 8 and that 14, I'm telling you, we'll be sitting down and we'll be talking about this stuff and let them talk. Let them participate because it's so important because they're smart. They're just little people, you know, looking to be directed. We're supposed to be the directors, you know. That, and then there was something else I wanted to say, but I'm going to have to let the other people talk about it because I can't remember it.
All right, appreciate it.
I appreciate you too.
I'll holler at you about next sometime. I'll call you.
Okay, alhamdulillah, inshallah. I look forward to it.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Walaikum assalam. Welcome to Allah wa barakatuh.
Hi, Brother Melvin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Imam. And all I can really do is echo what the sister just said, really, and what Brother Mark said. And, you know, this, as they were saying, well, in so many words, you know, this kupa that you gave is so crucial to our future just in general. And the fact, because you're putting the nuts and bolts together of the problem. And I think that's the logic supporting the why, because kids always want, we all want to know why, you know, why for everything. And you're giving us the legs that, you know, to stand on. I just think it's huge, very important. And very, otherwise, how do we respond if we don't have the why? How do we even respond to the question? So I'm like overwhelmed. So, and as the sister said, I'm echoing again. We just listening. I'm not trying to mess up this conversation right now by hitting one. I need to keep listening. So I actually feel like the conversation after the kutva that you're having with Brother Mark and the sister is almost like they go together. We kind of need it because I got to listen to this whole thing again. It's too much. It was too much going on. You said so many things. The words that were so important. You know, you've always been a person that has helped me with language and words and seeing that, you know, from the very first time I saw you, you know, you put the word lexicon in my head. I had never heard that word before. Anyway, but the thing is, the words are so huge. And what you're addressing, you're getting out front of this problem that we're experiencing. Oh, man, it's you're saying it's really addressing it. No one is really talking about it on this level in the sense of going into the depth of it, afraid to address, you know, for the fear, but you have the language tools in which to address it. And that's usually, I think, but the big problem is many times we just don't have the language tools, so get upset because we don't have that tool to address that problem. Language, as it relates to language. So, alhamdulillah, I don't want to say too much. I really enjoy it. I just want to add one thing, two things. No, one thing really, but it's two people. I did finally run into Brother William, and I just saw Brother Naeem yesterday. Naeem out here now, right? The quick cut to this stuff. I was excited.
All that California moving back to the ATL, man. Well, at least I don't have no problem with where to stay when I get there. I got plenty of options.
That's right. You sure do. Alhamdulillah. So, yes. So, to continue on, I'm just going to listen again. And I really appreciate it. It's a great discussion. And this is something that has to be played over and over again for a while because y'all just address too many things, you know. So, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Ismail, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just like the previous callers, these conversations is what, you know, prompts us to push the button.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking on Sister Manura Abil, she did announce it this morning on Imam DeLacy's, on his show. So she announced it maybe, you know, a couple of hours ago. So it is out there, and congratulations to them. Alhamdulillah.
Good.
And what the sister was speaking on, letting our children speak, I always found that beneficial. But one thing I try not to do is to I want them to speak freely. So when we're looking at certain things or listening to certain things, I don't let my reactions show so that I can really see how they feel.
Yeah.
I always get on my wife because she thinks she's listening. And she'll ask questions, but it being the way, I have to be like, you got to stop leading the witness. You're leading the witness. You know, and the children don't get what I'm saying, but she understands what I'm saying. I said, So, like this was saying, we do need to listen, but it's important to listen so that they feel free to really tell how they feel. And I found that very beneficial. So I'm enjoying the program. I'll hang up and listen. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Appreciate it. Alhamdulillah. 925, you coming up next, huh? Don't worry, I see your hand, but you got one in front of you right now, and that's Georgetta Beya. Assalamu alaikum, Georgetta.
Welcome, assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. You have a comment?
Oh, assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah. Yeah, I had a brief comment, of course, to echo what everyone was saying. I really appreciate you playing that song in its entirety before you came on. It was more than just a toe tapper. The words just fit perfectly into everything that you were saying. And, of course, also acknowledge Brother Mark's reflection and the other reflections on just everything that's gone, that you're going into, presented to us, this information to us in such a thorough, methodical, scientific, just, you know, totally comprehensive way, you know, inside and outside of the religion, all really inside the religion. Of course, we didn't get all of this. We talked about baby boomers when we were coming up, so I get it that now we have the opportunity to share this with our grandchildren. What we didn't necessarily, which we did not get, which has already been acknowledged today as well. And so I kind of go back to my question from last week to put a question into it as well. And that is, you know, what happens when, you know, you get to one of these stages, when you're in one of these stages and you don't get it, you weren't taught it or something like that, and you become like, I don't know, you don't progress past, or not, I don't know if progress is the right word, but you don't come out of that stage. And so then, I mentioned that only because, and what Daya was saying about, you know, about, get it with our grandkids. That's true, in the right situation. Because I'm really excited because I have three grands that are in this stage. All boys. And I have one that's outside the stage. So the one that was outside the stage, the older one, I did have a chance yesterday when we were going to get gas for his truck to say, you mean I'm talking about masturbation today? No, because earlier I had tried to get them to quote unquote, go to Jumu'ah with me, you know, they didn't want to do it, you know. I didn't want to go back and say, oh, when I was your age, I didn't have a choice. I had to go, you know, I don't want to go there with them, right? But
no,
I was able to, inshallah, catch him in a situation where he's driving. He doesn't have his phone in his hand, which is never far away. He doesn't have a little game gadget in his hand, which for all of them is not very far away. But to just say, okay, we're going to sit down and listen to this kuba, that's kind of a stretch too, you know. So I got that little snippet in just as we were, you know, driving, as he was driving. And it did perk him up because I brought that subject up, and I was able to, you know, just talk about it for a little while. But I need more ways, especially when the parents, we didn't give the parents that. And so, I don't know, that's kind of involved in my question. You know, when they didn't get it all the way because we didn't have it to give to them, we can give it to our grandkids now. But then I could walk in the house and, your dad's playing the same stupid music that you listen to. So, I don't know. So, thank you, ma'am. I'm kind of mainly still wrestling with this. With the part of how you know, when you don't come out of that a particular stage all the way, and the consequences of how you can do it, because you know I'm trying to say. So
I'll be 9:25. We're coming up, but let me mention this to you, Jordana. Because of the way that last week, of subject coming forward and. So it's on my mind, and of course there are things that that you and I know personally that makes it even more significant for me to get to that point of clarity on that. But it has to, in the spirit of edification, fall in the sequence, inshallah. So it's coming right up, especially when we talk about that. The moral development side of it, but then also the sources of what may cause one to get stopped from phase one to phase two. That is, you know, okay, and that's what's really going on right now. In this world, they're setting up roadblocks and false channels to channel that energy in false directions, right? And in fact, I'm looking at the Imam's quote that I use, that I keep on the subject matter. Says, so when Imam Muhammad, I'm quoting now, so when you give the natural life artificiality imposed upon that natural life, a life that is really strange to that natural life, a life that is not real, when you look at what is natural life, what happens? He says, the behavior register in that life is confused. You confuse the behavior register, and it becomes so confused that it sends you into extremes to get rid of the problem. The nature to register what is going on and to know what the external influences is asking of the natural system inside you becomes confused, and it sends your spirit and your behavior to extremes. So in the quote. So basically, the pathologies that we'll have to call them pathologies, whatever the source, doesn't matter. If they're not in line with the natural pattern and direction of Allah, they are pathological. They don't have to be, you know, from bad motivations, bad intentions, or whatever. They are what they are, and so that's really what we're going to go on to talk about, because sometimes trauma or abuse, et cetera, also messes up the channel, if you will. And so therefore the natural flow from number one to number two doesn't happen because of the trauma that interceded at that point in time. And so now that nature, quote unquote, is confused, not knowing how to get out of it and the like. So inshallah, we'll come up on that, inshallah. Maybe next week, inshallah. I can't promise, but that's the spirit.
Inshallah, Imam. I know you're gonna. I know you're gonna get to it. And like I said, in the way, appreciate the way that you bring it to us. And this is not in any way a plug or anything. But alhamdulillah, I'm grateful that we have the institute, a Clear Understanding Institute, where we have access to not just this information that we're sharing today, the coupons and everything, but, you know, so much of your other, of everything that you cover. And so being able to, you know, be a subscriber to that, to your institute, And even in such a, I would say reasonable, but I'll say ridiculously low cost of affordable for everybody. I really appreciate us having access to this and the material, the way you bring it to us. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you, Imam.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
925, finally and finally. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Abdul Malik. Salaam alaikum.
Hey, assalamu alaikum. I'm to love the captain. So we got two for the price of one this morning, huh?
Yeah. Walaikum assalam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The brother who I love to hear him, he always calls in from Missouri. He was, he quoted an ayat in the Quran, one of my favorite ayats, 1678, the one where it says, you know, if I mean, Wallahu akrijakum min butuni umat atikum, where Allah brings you forth from the wombs of your mother. And the word that Allah uses in there, I'm trying to find out from you, brother, ma'am, I want to be correct, where Allah used the word for womb as butuni. Now, you speaking about the morality that's manifesting in society. Now, there's another word that Allah uses also for womb, which is what you familiar with, is arham. And so my question is, on the topic that you're speaking of, would arham that because of when he was speaking about the nafs la'amara, that's doing the 8 to 14?
No. Nafs la'amara, it begins I'm agreeing that it begins in that early phase, you know, 0 to 7, and then it intensifies.
Yeah.
There's a transition between nafs al-amara and nafs al-lawama in the modeling phase, which is what we're talking about.
Right. So my question is this, that based on these early year stages, whereas we know that the child came from the physical womb, now the child is in the environment, becomes that spiritual womb. And if that child is getting the right nourishment that Allah is providing, as he said right here, that he's given sight, hearing, and intellect. So if the parent is not seeing and intellectualizing according to the natural plan that Allah has prescribed, an example that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has exemplified, then we see what's manifested in the society, which becomes the culture of the day.
You're right. Allahu Akbar. No, that's correct. Good insight. Allahu Akbar. All right. I guess I have to agree. People do be listening. If not to me, they listen to somebody because they're coming through with it this morning. As always. appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. And mashallah, that's going to be the end of the broadcast this morning. Thank you all for your contribution to it, and may Allah continue to guide us to the best. Everybody have a wonderful day. Inshallah, nothing for us tomorrow, but inshallah, Monday, Wealth Creation Preservation, 4:30 Pacific time. God's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.